Good morning, marketers. You're ready to supercharge your day with Morning Wake Up, recorded and streaming live from Advertising Week New York 2024. We are here for day one of what promises to be an exciting week. Hopefully. I like to think it's going to be an exciting week. It's exciting for everybody here. Hopefully it's exciting for you too as you listen along. But we're going to bring you an insider's look at what everyone is talking about over the next several days. The Morning Wake Up podcast and live stream is brought to you in partnership with Kantar and Reddit. And speaking of Reddit, my guests today are both from Reddit.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
I'd like to welcome both Laura Oxford and Matt Klein.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. A little closer to the mics. I should have told you that earlier. My apologies.
Good morning.
Laura, you go first. Tell us, you know, who you are, what you do at Reddit.
Hi. Yeah. So my name is Laura Oxford. I am a senior researcher at Reddit on our Global Insights team. So our team really, and I'm going to jump in for us both here, is to decode the cultures and communities that are built on our platform to create mutually beneficial relationships that really not only ensure that our brands can show up in a way that's super effective, but also to ensure that they're really adding value to our communities and not just kind of adding more ad pollution.
Excellent. And Matt?
About the same. My name is Matt Klein, the head of global foresight and research methods at Reddit. I like to argue we have one of the coolest jobs ever, which is to try to make sense of everything that's happening across our 100,000 communities and millions of conversation threads to understand what's happening in culture and then advising organizations to show up in a more strategic, resonant, and creative manner.
So you get to see all of the stuff.
All of it.
All of the stuff.
All of it.
Which, I mean, I'm not even like thinking like nefariously. Like, I'm thinking like, that's super interesting. Like, and then translate that into who are these people and how to match brands to them and what
exactly
might they like and what might else they like.
Exactly. And finding a way to, and I'll use the word again, just resonate, right?
Yeah.
What we find is that Redditors are, in fact, very, very, very welcoming of brands. And how can you help brands show up in a way in which they're augmenting or adding to conversation?
Yeah, 100%. I think on that as well, when I first started working here, and I'd always been familiar with the platform, but never really from a commercial perspective. And I was concerned that, you know, working in the context of marketing at a platform like this, there'd be nothing really to say. But our Redditors are so leaned in, so engaged, that there's nowhere else on the internet where you have people literally volunteering to mod a community around their favorite brand or their favorite product in the same kind of context. Like, there's nowhere else online where there are people as engaged and leaned in as here.
Interesting. Well, let's get back into that in a little bit. You know, we're here at Advertising Week New York 2024, the 20th anniversary of Advertising Week. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that. We kicked off the morning with, I don't know if you saw it, I actually only caught about 4 seconds of it, with the mascot procession featuring Smokey Bear, who would not speak to me. I tried.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed. I just wanted to know that only I could prevent forest fires so I could tell everybody and gloat. But Reddit has your own mascot.
We do.
Snoo.
Snoo. Yeah. Tell us about Snoo.
Do you know what? I thought that there was a more interesting story to Snoo than there was.
There's a lot of lore.
There's a lot of lore. But the rumor that I heard was that the reason it was an alien was because an alien could come to Earth for the first time and they could read the front page of Reddit and get a sense of like who we were as an earthly population. This is fake news because I was looking it up this morning and that is
not that.
But I feel like
sense.
That would be great.
I buy it.
I believe one of our founders doodled Snoo in a marketing class, according to some old Reddit comments that have been lurking around. But I think Snoo's amazing in the context of our industry in particular because it's so differentiating.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of maintains a sense of play. And also you can kind of orient yourself with other Reddit users based on how you feel about Snoo. So I feel like older Reddit users mm-hmm. are much more comfortable with Snoo. And then people who are new are like, what is this?
Snoo.
Yeah.
It's Snoo.
Yeah.
Can we get Snoo merchandise? Is there a Snoo merchandise?
We can hook it up, I'm sure.
There's so much Snoo merchandise. I have a Snoo hat, which is one of my favorite things that I own.
Sweatshirts, slippers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like 15,000 black hoodies.
Phone cases, frisbees.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so, you know, we're going to go over the hot topics all week long. But for today, you know, we're going to go over what we anticipate will be some of the big topics being discussed on the stages of Advertising Week today. One of which is really the idea of channels and the ever, I think, expanding idea of what those channels are and what even being a channel means. Because, you know, growing up as a kid, when you said channel, everybody thought, oh, ABC, NBC, CBS, mm-hmm. and that was a channel. You know, you didn't even, a radio station was a station. It wasn't a channel. Channel has a whole different meaning in 2024, and I think that meaning is completely different than it was even 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So when you think about channels, and then think about the importance of diversifying channels, from the Reddit perspective, what does that mean to you?
I mean, I'll start, maybe kind of macro view. I completely agree. I think traditionally we viewed a channel as a single source or a, you know, hierarchical kind of path of, you know, accessing information or consumption. Yet today there's a complete proliferation, if I got that, proliferation. I just threw that one down. But it's ever expansive and it's flourishing. And not only are there so many, but now it's many to many or bidirectional or lateral trust. So I think when it comes to Reddit, yeah, there are countless communities within a single channel like Reddit, mm-hmm. but also the modes of transfer of communication are going both ways. So it's not just a tops down way of kind of accessing what car should I buy, but accessing millions of people who are talking about what car should I buy within it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think to double down on that as well, I think there's the complexity of all of these different networks. And then, I mean, if you think about the fact that there was a really famous study, I think, back in 2017, actually by GWI, which showed that even then the average person had like 7 social media accounts, right? And that's only really grown since then. And I think when we think about diversifying channels, we need to meet our audiences where they are. Purchase journeys involve more channels, more interactions, more kind of directions than ever before. And so the notion that you could just, you know, invest in one channel and that would kind of result in effective advertising is kind of outdated, I think.
But each channel uses now a, or let's put it this way, each channel has its own value or its own step.
Yes.
And it's not a linear process by any means.
Absolutely not. Yeah, agree. And I think so, thinking about even, we talk a lot about the fact that, for example, in recent years, we've seen a real decline in the trustworthiness of search results and how more people, I think, you know, in general, we've seen search decline and then brand discovery and product discovery via social kind of rise. And as a result, it's because people are searching for things, not finding what they look for. And then increasingly we're seeing a role of validation come up in purchase journeys as well, where people are finding something on one channel and then going to maybe Reddit or somewhere else to be like, is this thing something that I really want to buy? And I think thinking about that as well and how that journey is changing is important.
Do you find a lot of users spending more time these days just within Reddit itself? So when you think of, like, you know, an average user at one point may have gone to a regular traditional search engine, and that would have been where they went and, you know, did their searches for things. Do you find that there's people just living within the Reddit ecosystem, at least for, you know, I don't know if in general or just for certain topics, where, you know, hey, this is, you know, when it comes to the films I watch, the hobbies I have, the news I want, the people I want to interact with, this is just where I live.
Of course. Yeah. I think that my saying, at least, is come for the content, stay for the comments. That the real value is in the back and forth, the dialogue, the nuance, the debate, the conversation. So yeah, there's absolutely a depth to it as well.
And if you're working with a brand, what sort of advice do you tend to want to give them to best interact with those users?
I think what we require is a bit of a paradigm shift, which is away from this idea of community management. We've been talking about community management for so long. You cannot manage a community. You can't.
Yeah.
You cannot wrangle people and act as if you own them. So I think the paradigm shift is moving away from community management to that of community participant. How can you show up in a way to participate in a community as if you're any other person? How do you ask questions? How do you answer questions? Mm-hmm. How do you debate? How do you ask for feedback? How do you express interest in the passion that all these people share? And doing it over time and again and again and again. I mean, the metaphor that we like to use is, you know, think about a dinner date. If someone was to come in and sit down at your dinner date and just started talking about themselves, it would be the worst date ever. So in the same way, if you have this community, how can you show up and not just talk about yourself, but talk about the other person's interests and ask questions and engage and go deep with it and form this kind of intimacy?
I think as well, on top of that, if you are going to talk about yourself, like, bring something to the table which is interesting and kind of genuinely stimulates the conversation, right? Like, if you are going to talk, be the most interesting person in the room. One of my favorite ever examples of a brand on Reddit is, so Netflix, the show Unsolved Mysteries, they had so much additional kind of content lying around, like, afterwards it didn't kind of make the final cut. And so they went to the community and they just gave a Dropbox or of all of the stuff they didn't use. And they were like, if you want to carry on looking into all of this stuff yourself, here's all the evidence we have. Here's everything. Find your own. Tell us what you think. And it's like, it was about them technically, but they were like, what do you think? Like, kind of, you know, take the story a little bit further. And I think that idea of like stimulating the conversation and kind of giving it fuel, like being, the really interesting dinner party guest that everyone wants join.
That's fascinating. So, I mean, you're almost better off being like becoming, evolving into like a trusted leader within these channels than just, you know, a horrible overlord. Go figure.
But arguably, isn't that what branding is, right? We've lost the plot.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa, who'd have thought?
Social media being social. That's
how novel.
Yeah, go figure. You know, moving on a little bit. You know, we have several tracks at Advertising Week during the course of the week, you know, in thinking of things that would be of interest to Reddit. One of them is the data collaboration and decisions track. Contextual targeting is always a very hot topic here. And I think, you know, tracking at all, targeting at all right now is been in an interesting state of flux and then not flux and then flux again and then not flux. I think I may have I got lost along the way. I fully admit it. When you think of the power of contextual targeting and just the power of context in general from a Reddit lens, what do you see?
I mean, I'll tee us up, but when we go back and think again of these 100,000 plus communities, those are 100,000 unique contexts. So I think historically and traditionally, we've been so obsessed with, you know, demographics of individuals or consumers, yet they're so limiting in nature. If I ask you, define a hiker, I mean, you're going to, you know, miss a whole, you know, cohort of people that are, in fact, interested in hiking. Yet a way around that is, how do you show up in a community all about hiking? And there's not just one hiking and outdoors community. There's countless of them. So I think when we think about context, it's how do we move beyond individual attributes or markers of an individual or an interest to literally the entire location where people are congregating to discuss that interest?
Yeah, I think on top of that, again, thinking about the complexity of our audience, and someone might be a hiker, but they might also be a mother. They might also be a gamer. And depending on what mindset they're in when they go on a platform, they might be looking for different things, right? So instead of, you know, showing up in to someone who is maybe interested in hiking but currently in a gaming community, you can ensure that you're always showing up not just in the right place but at the right time as well. And it really, I think that in particular really kind of acknowledges the nuance and diversity. You know, people contain multitudes, and contextual targeting is a really, really great way to kind of meet people where they're at.
And what do you see in terms of changes over the past few years, and where might that be headed, if you have any thoughts on that?
I think it's the ability to get even more and more and more specific. Mm-hmm. I mean, to Laura's point, to kind of piggyback here, right? There's context within context within context. So we're not just talking about r/hiking, but, you know, the multitude of not just interests and topics, but other communities that fall underneath the theme of hiking. And then further, you know, how that changes based upon seasonality, how that changes based upon geolocation, how that changes based upon
family
life. Life or purchase decisions. I mean, you could pick another example of, we did a really interesting study a while ago looking at how Redditors are approaching DIY projects or home projects. And based upon seasonality, we see different spikes of whether that be pools or whether that be interior design or gardening. And there's context within context as a way to reach people interested in do-it-yourself projects. Now, that's just one superficial example, but that scales out for every single interest, every single purchase, and every single type of person.
I think as well on that, I guess the kind of elephant in the room when we think about context as well is also kind of like finances, right? It's really easy to target someone because they're really interested in interior design or renovations. And based on their budget, you could actually really switch someone off by showing them something which is incredibly irrelevant to them based on, you know, how many kids they have, if they ever want kids, if they have the cash to actually spend on what you're offering them. And so that context, to Matt's point, by really digging down into the nuance within that, really enables you to make sure that you're not only showing up in relevant spaces, but you're also not actively switching people off by showing them something that would discourage them from your brand.
And I think the opportunity lastly here is that when we think about Reddit as a platform, yeah, it's really text rich heavy. So that context, those words allow for really, really nuanced ways of, I don't like the word targeting, but showing up in very specific use cases.
Yeah.
You're right. You really do have a very cool job. I mean, I was just thinking about this. This is like every brand's dream to have all these dots to connect in all these different ways. Because when you think of the, you know, I was just thinking as you were talking that, you know, okay, so if hikers who also ski are also gamers who, you know, during the summer work on their houses, and then you can extrapolate that, you know, some of them, half of them are really into the NBA. I mean, just these possibilities are endless.
Totally.
Wow. That's very cool. Thinking of the other things that brands at Advertising Week are going to be concerned about this year, and a couple of these are things that they're always concerned about, but perhaps more so in recent years than ever. Thinking in terms of brand safety, let's talk about that. Sure. From, you know, because I'm always curious about everybody's perspective on this, but, you know, from a Reddit perspective, I mean, you have a lot of user input. How do you deal with brand safety?
I think the thing that I'm most interested in is busting the myth that Redditors are just negative and don't want brands, which is the farthest thing from the truth. What we've found time and time again is that Redditors actively want to see brands show up in their communities. Now, it sounds like a very controversial thing, but when we think about what Redditors want, it's engagement, it's content, it's conversation, it's dialogue, it's debate, it's nuance about the things they care most about. And if brands are able to show up and provide things that these people care about, they're absolutely going to welcome them. Now, I think where people get tripped up and are very kind of fearful, wrongfully, is that Redditors are providing feedback or they're providing criticisms to brands, which makes it feel as if it's not really a welcome place. But I think what we have to do is reframe that criticism or that negative sentiment as opportunity. Negative sentiment is not a threat, it's an opportunity. These are the most passionate people going out of their way talking about the brands they care most about. We don't talk about things we don't care about. We talk about things we really love and are passionate about. So if a brand is to really listen to that feedback and view it as an answer key or view Redditors as a focus group, it's completely just, you know, invaluable opportunity time and time again.
I agree. I think as well, something that is, and I've said this throughout my entire career to every brand that I've worked with, like, you know, if you're going to put yourself out there in the public forum, nowhere on the internet is safe from someone giving you feedback or, you know, someone saying something you maybe don't want to hear, an unfortunate truth, whatever. But what's very interesting about Redditors is that, you know, Redditors over-index on, they're more educated, they're more politically active. This is an audience of critical thinkers who really care about the world. They care about their passions, their interests, the brands they buy. They think critically about why they're buying what they buy. And their conversations are incredibly valuable. And, you know, if you're going to get hate wherever you are on the internet, at least go to a place where the conversations are going to be really constructive.
And I think the important kind of bit that is really worth highlighting is that first and foremost, positive conversations outweigh negative ones, roughly about 4-1, whether we pick a category like auto, CPG, tech, etc. So overwhelmingly, there's more positive conversation about brands than there are negative ones. But when it comes to the negative conversations, overwhelmingly, those are about the product or the service or the features themselves. This isn't just people, you know, dunking on, you know, a brand for the sake of it. They're literally providing feedback of this is what I wish. So if a brand is to show up, how do you view that with open arms and to engage with those people who are going out of their way to share their thoughts?
100%. I think as well, we did a study quite recently which showed that we were more likely than our kind of major social competitors to be a place where people come to actually get their mind changed. And we have so many subreddits that really kind of come to that as well, like r/changemyview or r/unpopularopinion. Like, these are communities where people come to maybe say something that is controversial and then be like, am I wrong? I actually did a study for a a media brand recently where a lot of people were complaining across the internet that their tiers were too expensive, like their subscription tiers, a classic M&E issue right now for everyone. And actually, yeah, the post was like, this is too expensive. But all of the comment section was people being like, no, you're doing it wrong. If you subscribe to this tier, you get the best value. That tier does seem really expensive, but if you get this one, that's where you unlock the value and it's really, really worth doing it. And it's only $4 extra a month or whatever. So, you know, this is really where people who love the product come, yes, to debate the features and to give feedback, but also to correct the people who maybe got it wrong and maybe the product is good or is worth it.
Yeah, I've always felt in my experience, especially when looking at things that I'm interested in, you know, either professionally or, you know, as a hobbyist, you don't have that 280 character limitation, and there's a lot of back and forth, and it's weird. I don't actually, for all of the times I've read things where, you know, people say, well, you know, I saw a negative thing on Reddit, I've never really seen one, and I've always counted, you know, maybe it's just the circles I've been looking at, but I doubt it because I've subscribed to so many that I don't see how that's possible. I think it's just kind of a somebody somewhere got, you know, saw something and their friend told their friend, and that was that. So
one of my favorite ever examples of this is actually a trend that Matt unearthed when I first started working here around low sodium gaming. I feel like I'm stealing your thunder. So basically, obviously, gaming and game launches are kind of notoriously controversial, right? Especially AAA games where people have been waiting for like a decade for Cyberpunk to be released or, you know, whatever. And so there's been a whole slew of new communities. So low sodium simmers, low sodium Cyberpunk. There are so many where it's basically no salt. Like, you're not allowed to...
You can't be salty.
You can't be salty. You have to be nice about the game. You can't say mean things about it. You can't be annoyed about the glitches and the bad graphics. You have to just only say positive things. And those communities, that doesn't happen anywhere else.
And what we find is that the low-sodium offshoots of some games are growing faster in screen views and engagement than the original community itself.
That's fantastic. Great. No, I love that, especially as somebody who actually really enjoyed Cyberpunk and it crashed once, sure, but, you know.
But I think that's also one of the things that makes these communities special is that you can, if you're in a community where you don't share the opinion of the people in the community, you can create your own.
Yeah.
You can say, hey, I don't share this perspective. Shall we have a little offshoot? We call it forking. Mm. Where you can create a community where you can create a safe space to just talk about what you want to talk about.
Excellent. Well, let's keep going. AI, which I just kind of, you know, I didn't sigh. I didn't moan before I said it.
You're close.
I was very close. It's because it's the first.
You sighed with your eyes.
I did. It's the first time I've said it this week. All other subsequent references to
only
AI.
Only took a couple hours.
I know. First podcast of the day, though. So, you know. You know, let's talk about AI and consumers, though, and AI, you know, again, from the Reddit lens, you know, what does it mean to you guys, if anything?
Yeah, I'll kick us off. I've been doing a ton of work on this recently, and I think it's actually a very relevant conversation in the context of what we've already been speaking about, which is AI is obviously has a huge kind of following on Reddit. We have lots of communities having lots of very kind of diverse conversations about it. But what's really interesting is that. What we're seeing is that Reddit is very much an onboarding platform for how to actually make AI useful in the context of everyday life. I think we're all kind of used to seeing lots of things where all of a sudden AI is everywhere. And even from a consumer perspective, everybody's a bit like, is this even useful? Like, what value does this have to me? And there's a really old, it's called TAM, the Technology Acceptance Model. And this is a very old theory, which has been iterated on a million different times about what you need in order for a technology to become mainstream after the hype cycle. And it's two main things, which is usefulness, like, will this thing actually add value to my life? And then perceived ease of use, like, can I use it as a person? Do I need training? You know, what's the interface like? Obviously, a lot of these bots already are very easy to use. But what's really interesting is that from a usefulness perspective, our communities are really kind of bridging that gap, not because we have loads of people in r/singularity speculating about it, but because the people who are in those communities are also mothers, gamers, runners, hikers, etc. And so those people will go to r/marmot and be like, hey, I used a chatbot today to write all of the prompts for an Easter egg hunt for my child. And then all of these other mothers who maybe aren't super AI literate are like, oh, wait, that's a really interesting use case that would be useful to me. And this other mother who I don't know is actually also like an early adopter has done it themselves. And so there's this real, we're seeing these communities really aid the mainstreaming and onboarding of these technologies in genuinely additive ways in people's lives.
Interesting stuff. In terms of day-to-day use, are you using it for anything at all?
AI itself?
Yeah.
Here and there. I like the... what I found to be most valuable is that I've plugged in my my bio or my interests in the back of the bots. So like Perplexity or ChatGPT, you know, you could, so some people don't know, we'll do a little PSA, that you could plug in who you are or the types of answers that you're looking for, whether that be format, length, tone, style, etc. And that would essentially give it context for when you do ask a question, it will frame up its answer based upon how you prefer it. So I've been using that a lot.
Prompt crafting.
Yes. But double, it's not the prompt itself. It's what's happening behind the scenes. You haven't heard this?
I haven't heard this, no.
Yeah, I can show you.
And I've been messing with a lot. So, I mean, you write like lots of podcast scripts. It's really terrible at it, but I mean, it gets you going at least, which is kind of the best part. Because, you know, if you're sitting there looking at a blank page for any length of time and you go, I'll just have it started. And then it writes something. And what it writes typically is bad enough. I mean, it's not that it's bad. It's that it's not how people would talk.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
And so you take that and you go, okay, well, I can take this idea and I can shape it into something how I would speak. Sure. And then, you know, boom, you're done. Mm. But, you know, beyond that, it feels like something that is still, I don't know. I'm getting tired of, you know, the whole AI generated graphics thing a little bit, just because it's so samey looking, you know, like there's some clever stuff here and there, but not as much as I had hoped, I guess.
Yeah. I valued the human.
Yeah, exactly. And it's bizarre how you can always tell, mm-hmm. regardless, even if it seems perfect. You're like, looks AI to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like too perfect.
Yeah.
But not in a,
yeah,
not in a good way.
But I think that's why we're at a really interesting point now, right? Because after the hype cycle kind of starts to shift away, mm-hmm. that's when you get into the real usefulness of something, right? And also like understand how to apply it in a way which is not only useful but also, you know, ethical as well, which is something which right now there's so much conversation about, like, oh my god, it's going to change everything, it's going to make everything immediately much quicker and much more efficient, and I think we're getting to a point where we're starting to see where it genuinely can do that and where the role of the human is still mm-hmm. really important. And ultimately, it's another tool, right? So yeah. It's all about understanding the right balance and the right combination between humans and the AI tools that they're
using. It feels a little bit like the App Store early on, where everybody made an app for everything mm-hmm. all the time. And you were sitting there going, I don't need any of this, you know? And then you go, oh, Uber. Okay, this is kind of cool.
I don't know. My tween brain was thrilled about my like 50 icon home screen on my phone.
Yeah.
The fake beer drinking app.
Important stuff. A level.
Yes.
As, you know, like
you use
a
that 15-year-old
DIYer. Yes. Yeah.
The stud finder never worked. I know this because I actually tried to mount a TV mount with it and ended up putting like 17 holes in the wall. I never did find the stud. So, you know, that didn't work.
I feel like that's on you.
Probably. I just, user error for sure, and not knowing how to use a drill, which, you know, again, I find most of that stuff on Reddit. Not you know, this is where I eventually go if I couldn't figure it out for myself.
Right. All roads lead back to Reddit.
Lead through to Reddit. That's what we say.
It does. And so for the last part of this, I am curious, as those who work at Reddit, how do you use Reddit, personally speaking?
Oh.
Let's kind of close out with that.
I'll start with my favorite community, which is r/out-of-the-loop. There's a great community that acts as a, I'll call it like a summary recap type of service, where someone will share a loose headline and just be like, I'm out of the loop. What's the latest on this thing? And the community will share their answers of, you know, what's been happening or hear the latest details. But what's so powerful about how Reddit works, and especially in the context of this community, is the best answers rise to the top through the upvoting. Mm-hmm. So what you essentially get is the best possible recap and summary of a current event through the eyes of everyday people. Mm-hmm. So I love using that one. The other, I'd say, primary use case in my world is just fandom, whether that be a TV show, whether that be a movie, and just getting theories and conspiracies and Easter eggs that you cannot find anywhere else. So those are my two go-tos.
Yeah, that one's a great one, actually. One thing in particular that I love about our TV communities is, because obviously, you know, when you're like watching what's on right now, I'm watching From at the moment. And so I'll go on there at the end of every episode and just go back through the memes, whatever. But also, I'm currently rewatching Desperate Housewives, which happens cyclically throughout my life.
What cycle are you on right now?
And like season four.
Okay.
But there's always a conversation about season four and how annoying Susan is, regardless. Like, the community is still
like at any given time.
At any given time.
Wow.
So I love it for the rewatches as much as it's almost like having something to second screen to for the rewatches as well as to the live stuff. So definitely that. Also games. A lot of if I'm stuck and I don't want like a hard walkthrough, usually Reddit will help. And also just to the point that I was making earlier, if I discover a skincare brand on Instagram, you know, I'm regularly kind of hit with a ton of different skincare brands and beauty brands and stuff. I don't know which ones are actually good and which ones are just have really nice packaging, which is increasingly a problem many people face, right? And so often I'll go to Reddit. I'm, you know, sometimes guiltily I won't even be on Reddit. I'll literally Google the brand, the product, and Reddit, same as so many people do. And then see what the communities are saying about it. Because these are people who really use the products. They're not influencers. I can trust them. And to Matt's point, if someone in the comments has been like, no, this product is terrible, and it is, that comment will rise to the top. And I'll know. Always believe the top comment, the consensus.
Really?
It's a little tip for you there.
For the most part.
Yeah.
For the most part. Are you thinking of a specific exception?
No, not. I wish there was.
That was just, you jumped in so quickly there.
I wish there was.
For the most part, disclaimering me in real time.
First couple. You need diversity of thought. Laura's too trustworthy.
So, I know, I've bought a lot of skincare products as a result of those communities as well, so...
Do you often land on these things and you see the first one and you're like, yeah, I don't think so. You go to the second one.
The gut is the gut is belief. You just need a few more.
Well, sometimes the top comment is literally just someone making a joke as well. So
that happens.
Know, that's sometimes the meme. The meme always rises to the top. Let's be real.
Oh yeah.
And then the truest recommendation. Maybe you always believe the second comment. Maybe that's
this is our next study.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, the in a restaurant with the wine list, and it's like you always want the second
is that
wine?
True?
Is that the rule?
I don't know. I think you may be...
Am I trying to conflate comments with wines? Wine. Maybe.
Well, see, I want to know, when it comes to these users, who are the people who are posting the best memes that rise to the top, and what are their hobbies?
Well, interestingly as well, I do think that some of our most influential and this is, you know, not proven with data, but just, you know, anecdotally from spending a lot of time in the weeds of our data and our comment sections, often I think the most engaged Redditors, the people who have many interests and use the platform for many different things, do tend to be the kind of super users that really, you know, the same as on any platform, there are some people that really get the format and the humor and really kind of like create the vibe. You know, it's the same with our mods, right? Some of our biggest mods are across many communities. And again, just very, you know, nuanced people who use Reddit for many different elements of their lives.
Interesting stuff. Well, that's pretty much all the time we have. I'd like to thank you both for joining today. This was fantastic. I learned a lot about not only Reddit, but, well...
Mostly Reddit.
All good.
But, you know, I mean, I'm a user, so I'm very curious about this stuff.
A pleasure. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
No, it was a blast. Yeah. And, I'll see you guys on there.
See you soon.
Yeah. What was it? It was low sodium.
Low sodium.
Low sodium gaming. I'm there.